For most people, Christmas is a joyous time of the year. Extended families get together to celebrate traditions, exchange gifts, and eat way more food than is advisable. But for some, the Christmas season is a time to grieve, more to be endured than enjoyed. Painful memories of a hard childhood, a divorce, or the death of a loved one are often overwhelming. And all of the surrounding glitter and happiness only serve to intensify those memories. Christmas rekindles for many people the most vivid memories and evokes the strongest emotions of them all. We all long for the perfect holiday as the year ends and a new one begins. We long to savor the peace and the joy of the season. But we must first reconcile the disappointments. The tragedies of the past year are indeed of our entire lifetime, as well as the triumphs, large and small. This is an excerpt from Barbara Russell's collection of short stories called Keeping Christmas. You know, it helps me remember that there are various responses to Christmas. People have all kind of different responses to Christmas and the birth of Christ. But Barbara Russell also says that while we may have much to mourn, we have much more to celebrate. We have heard today from Mary Remembers, the perspective of Mary, the mother of Jesus, and her recollection of the beginning and up through the birth and shortly thereafter of the Christ child. Think about it for a second. Mary was an unmarried girl. She was told that she would give birth to the Savior of the world, to the Christ child. You realize that at that point when she was told this, all the news she had, that's all the perspective she had, nothing else to go on other than she was told by the angel this would take place. At that point in her life, being an unmarried girl, she risked disaster. She certainly risked rejection. She also risked being thought of as a crazy person. Think about it for a second. What was her response? Amazing. Her response was willing submission. Willing submission to God to carry out her role in the birth of Christ. But it went way beyond just willing submission. Certainly, her response was what I call a fitting response. A fitting response to Christmas. And I thought, in light of what the children shared with us today, that it would be fitting for us today to look at Luke chapter 1 and just concentrate on a couple of verses where we will find appropriate ways to respond to the birthday of Jesus. And these verses 46 and 7 are the beginning of what is called Mary's song. Mary's song. This was Mary's response in song after she was told in these conditions, this situation she found herself in, that she would give birth to the Christ child, knowing full well she was a virgin. And knowing full well what might lie ahead. Her response, first of all, should be our response and that is to exalt the Lord. As Mary said in verse 46, my soul exalts the Lord. My soul exalts the Lord. That word exalt means to enlarge, to magnify, to glorify. It means, in this case, to ascribe greatness, bigness to God. Makes you think of Micah 5:4, which says, speaking of the Messiah who would come, the Christ child, his greatness will reach the ends of the earth. Mary begins her song with a note of praise, telling out the greatness of God. Back in verse 32, early on, in Luke 1, it was a reminder. She was referring back to what she knew. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. That's what she's recalling. And in her mind, that brings out of her that praise and exaltation to God. She's magnifying the greatness of the God that had spoken to her. The one that she believed, verse 33, whose kingdom would never end, she was told. She believed it. And that's what she was exalting God about. Lifting Him up, magnifying Him, glorifying Him because He was the great God whose kingdom would never, never end. Think about that word for a second, magnifies. It means to enlarge. Very much like these little things do, or else I wouldn't be able to read these things in front of me. And this week it even got worse. I was in my office and I was trying to look at a picture of something. And it was something on that picture I wanted to look at. And I have this round magnifier in my desk for emergencies. Because I leave these all over the place. I lose a couple of pair a week, whatever it is. I go to the dollar store, by the way, in case you think I'm spending way too much on glasses. But I pulled the magnifying glass out so I could look, and it reminded me of this. Interesting, it happened on the same week. But it enlarged what I was looking at. But you know what? It talks about magnifying Him. But it's not just at Christmas. That word denotes a habitual act. You hear that? Something that goes on all the time, not just at Christmas. We can sing joy to the world and we can say we adore Him and magnify Him, but it's to go on throughout the year. The angels were praising God and saying glory to God in the highest, magnifying Him. But also the shepherds, it says they return glorifying and praising God. The same response of Mary. She wanted to exalt Him. She wanted to magnify Him. She wanted to praise Him. And likewise did the angels and the shepherds. And I have to ask you this question, and you help me figure it out. Probably won't take you long to figure it out. Didn't take me long, and I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I came up with this pretty quick. Who's exalted the most at Christmas? Christ child or Santa? Think about it for a second. Who's magnified the most? Then ask who should be magnified the most. That's a no-brainer. I was talking to, I hate to bring up bad things at Christmas or memories that will break your heart or make you sad, but I was talking to some dear friends of ours, the Ludecks this week, talking to Robert. And he was all excited. He was frozen, but he was excited up in Syracuse, but they were looking forward. They were enjoying the snow, by the way. It's cold, but they're enjoying that part and think it's cool at Christmas especially. He said something to me that was exciting to him, and it was exciting to me, and that they were thrilled that their Christmas programs, the two younger children's Christmas programs, were exalting Christ. They had other things in it, had Hanukkah songs, and they had songs about the Christ child. But what he was excited about, it wasn't just secular. They brought in some songs that exalted Christ. And that happens a lot of places, but not everywhere. Many times it's not in the school. Many times it's not in the marketplace. But more so than that, I'm concerned about what's happening in your home. Who is being exalted? Mary not only was exalting the Lord, but verse 47, she gives us appropriate, fitting response to the birthday of Jesus, and that is to rejoice in the Lord. And my spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior. My spirit has rejoiced. Her spirit was rejoicing in God, the God she knew whose reign would be forever. Therefore, worthy of rejoicing in. Because he was going to reign forever. Better. Might as well. He's in control. And interesting, this word rejoice here, it means the outward demonstration of joy and the exultation experienced in public worship. It means to exult, to shout for joy, to rejoice greatly. Outward, folks. It's not used but a couple of times in the New Testament, that word, and it means that outward expression of what's in here. And we talk about joy, and we can have the joy of the Lord, and we don't necessarily have to be giddy, happy, bumpy, and bubbly all the time, and still have the joy of the Lord. But I maintain this, and I have for my entire life as a Christian, and I'll stand by my story. That if you have the joy that resides within your heart because the King reigns in your heart, it's going to get out through your face and your mouth at some time. Christmas is a good time for it to happen. But every day is a great time for it to happen. She was rejoicing, and we likewise need to rejoice in the Lord. It's much like what we do, and this could be a sad thing for me, when our team does well, because I haven't had much rejoicing this year in the college level nor in the pro level. But think about it for a second. We just get all giddy, happy, and up and down and shout, "Nay!" don't we? I've done it. I've come up out of my seat. Go Steelers. Go Bulldogs. Jeff and John, I'm sorry, you know, but it's a rough year for us, right? A couple of brothers that share my pain on the college and pro level. Or, how about this? When a child is born. Hey, grandparents, I'm one of you. I know. Can never forget the day that our first grandchild was born 5 years ago, and we were in Nashville, Tennessee, along with the other grandparents. And we were all at the hospital for that blessed occasion, and we were all excited, bubbly, jumping around. People in the hospital thought we were crazy. They saw this all the time, but I think they thought we had really lost it. We go out to the Cracker Barrel to celebrate a breakfast after a very early morning start, and I'd had an hour and a half of sleep because I had just driven in from this area, and we wanted to wake up a little bit and celebrate. And here we were on our cell phones, and just we'd already gone and dropped off pictures, and we headed back to pick up the prints. I'm not joking. There were pictures in print of that baby, you know, before mid-morning. She was born in sometime in the early morning, wee hours of the 5 or 6 o'clock range that comes to mind, somewhere in there. I don't know. I just know we woke up very early when we got the call. But here we were. We were new grandparents. We were excited, and that excitement and what was in there, that rejoicing was bubbling out. And I'm just sharing that with you to say that's really what should happen for you and me, because we have a whole lot more to rejoice in. As great as grandchildren are, right? They're wonderful. Having the Christ child being born for me to pay the price for my sin is far greater. Also, we should rejoice not only on that grand occasion of the birth, but we, according to Scripture in Philippians 4:4, says that we are to rejoice again. Rejoice always, he says. Again, I say, rejoice! How often? Always. And we can. We can rejoice. Why? Because of him. Because of who reigns in our heart, who's in control, and his reign shall never end. Therefore, no matter what the circumstances are, and folks, I know, hey, I've lost loved ones at Christmas too. Both my grandmothers died within a few days of Christmas time. Other loved ones have died during that time. His mom died shortly right after Christmas, still during the holiday period. And I know all of that can be tough. And I know we're going to mourn. Grieve and mourn. That's appropriate. But in your mourning, rejoice. Especially when you know your loved ones are celebrating like they've never celebrated before. It can happen because we can yield our spirits to the Spirit of God, who will produce joy, which will allow us to rejoice always, not just at Christmas, but especially we should rejoice in the Lord, not in the circumstances, in the Lord, because he's in control of the circumstances. We are to rejoice in the Lord. After all, Luke 2:10 tells us that Christmas is a time of good news, of great joy, good news of great mega joy. And it shall be for all people. Therefore, no one is exempt from the opportunity to rejoice in the Lord. Mary's third response that I see in these two verses is an appropriate response for you and me as well. And obviously the most important. My spirit has rejoiced in God. Who is he? My Savior. Wow. That's what it's all about, by the way. The Savior has come. Mary is acknowledging her sin, right? Who needs a Savior? A person who sinned. Very clear. That she's rejoicing in the fact that God is sending the Redeemer, the Christ child, who will give his life in order to pay the price for sin. A very special person, by the way. Only one person I know of carried the Christ child. Favored among men. God's special favor rained upon her. Like you and me, though, an agent used by God. A willing, submissive agent used by God to carry the Christ child. But she's acknowledging that she likewise is carrying the one who will redeem her as well as redeem you and me. Buy us back by the payment for the price of his blood. Luke 2:11 says the Savior is born, Christ the Lord. Who? The Savior. That's why we're rejoicing, because the Savior has been born. Not just a baby, but a Savior who came to pay the price for our sin, to save us from that sin. Matthew 1:21, he will save his people from their sin. Which every man, every woman stands in need of a Savior. And that's who Christ is. The one who came to shed his blood and to sacrifice his life as a substitute for any man, any woman. That we might trust in him as the one who came to die for our sin and therefore be saved from the penalty of that sin. And know we have eternal life in heaven with him. Mary was magnifying God for who he was, the great and the most high God. But also, she was magnifying for him for what he would do for her and what he would do for all people. And that is what? Save us from our sin. That's a cause for celebrating. Only as we trust in the Savior can we truly exalt the Lord. Only as we trust in the Savior can we truly rejoice always in the Lord. That's where it begins. My question for you is, what is your response to the birthday of Jesus? What is your response? And the first question I have to ask, that's where it all begins. Have you acknowledged this Jesus, this Christ child, who became man, who hung on the cross to shed his blood? Have you acknowledged him as your Savior? And you can do so by simply opening your heart and saying, Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying for my sin. I trust in you, Lord, as my Savior today. It's that simple. But nothing's going to happen if you don't mean it. But if that's the desire of your heart, and it's possible that you've been around Christmas for 20 to 70 years without acknowledging Christ as Savior. Why I say that? Because there are people every day, everywhere we go, who will celebrate Christmas, but they've never acknowledged Christ as the Savior. And that's the whole meaning of Christmas. Therefore, you know what I tell you? They've never truly celebrated Christmas before. Are you rejoicing? Are you rejoicing in the Lord today in the midst of the good and also the bad? In the midst of the triumphs, but also the trials? You can. As you yield your spirit to the Spirit of God to control your thoughts, your attitudes, and your actions on a moment-by-moment basis, you will indeed be able to rejoice in whatever circumstance. Now, having said that, I haven't perfected that, so I'm not sharing that with you, that one that's got it all together. But I'm one who struggles like you do. But I'm acknowledging once again today it's possible. It's possible to rejoice always. But also, are you exalting him? Real quick, when people say happy holidays to you, what do you say? Something, please. I caught myself and I was kicking myself all the way through the parking lot one day because I missed wonderful opportunities. Do you need to, hey, mister, have you trusted in this Savior who's been born? No, you don't have to say that. God leads you to say it. Say it. But just a simple acknowledgement of what the season is all about is a good thing. A reminder. And I think most of those people who tell you happy holidays, they're in a store where they're afraid to say Merry Christmas and they want to. It's a good thing to remind them of. Why? Because you're exalting the one whom the season is all about. I'm not anti-Santa Claus, by the way. He's not the devil in our home. Never was. But we've always tried to maintain a balance and exalt the one whose birthday we celebrate. And I hope you're doing the same. And I hope you're finding that balance. If you're going to get anything out of balance, certainly go overboard with Christ, the newborn king. That will never hurt. It is indeed, folks, good news of great joy. The Savior has been born. Do you believe that? Then I invite you to pull out all the stops. As we join with Mary as she celebrated. She's not here with us right this moment. But as we join with her and the children who were singing up here earlier in exalting the King, by lifting our voices to Him and expressing the great joy that's in our heart because He has saved us from our sin. Let's rejoice and celebrate in a way that's fitting to our Lord.